Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Wrap-Up. It is week four. We are talking about the biggest sports stories of the week. It was a big weekend in the NFL. The divisional championship games took place. We were going to talk through those. It was the men and women's Australian Open finals. And we're going to chat through the winners of the Grand Slam. And we'll chat about some other sports stories along the way. My name is Grace. I am your host, but I am, as always, joined by a panel of guests. We're going to kick it off. First, we have Cam Perry is with us. Cam, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Like, this is pretty exciting because, like, yeah. I'm always wanting to talk about sports, and you know, I'm a big NFL, NBA, you know, guy. So, anytime I can talk about stuff like that, it's always cool.
Cool. Happy to have you. We also are joined by the great Corey B. Corey, how you doing?
Well, that's Grace. I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. Also, I am mostly a football fan as well. And I apologize if you can hear screaming babies in the background at any point in this podcast. I'm very excited to talk about what's been going on this week.
Cool. And finally, our first three paneled guests roundtable here. We're also joined by Matt Gagan. How you doing, Matt?
I am great. And it's a perfect three for three because I'm also excited to be here. You know, I'm a very, very on and off with my sports fandom, but I'm very on right now. So you got me at a good time.
I that's how I found out. The way I typically find guests is I'm like, who's talking about what on Twitter? And you were like, why am I staying up so late to watch Australian tennis? And I was like,
yes, huh? I was the only person weird enough to stay up every night till 8 and 9 in the morning watching tennis for 2 weeks straight.
The reason you're doing it is we could eventually come on the Sports Wrap Up and chat about the Australian Open finals.
I didn't even know it, but yeah.
Yeah. So I love to start off the show. Typically, we go around the horn and I ask people what their sports background is, what sports they particularly love, and what are, you know, if you have teams that you follow or players. So we're just chatting, Matt, about the tennis. You're staying up late to watch tennis. What's your like sports background? What's your sports history?
So yes, I've been very into tennis recently, but I just started really getting into it within the last year or so. I've always liked it. I famously played varsity badminton in high school, so very big into the racket sports in general.
Amazing.
But if we're just going to go the more traditional sports, like the four major sports, I've always been a baseball boy. I've been a Yankee fan for a very long time. Raised a Mets fan, but converted all the way back in first grade. So my friends will always be able to convince me rather than my parents to figure out, you know, what teams to root for. So as far as teams go, Yankees are really the only professional sports team that I've ever really rooted for. And a little less so now. I'm just more into baseball, you know, as a sport in general than I like the, and maybe it's just because I take for granted that the Yankees will just make the playoffs every year. But when they do eventually losing, like I'm not crushed about it. There's still more baseball to watch. So it's not something that I really get up in arms about. But so yeah, Yankees are the only really team that I have. And then any other sport, I'll just root for players like in basketball. I really don't watch the NBA. I like March Madness and everything. But when it comes to basketball, I'll watch the finals if LeBron's there because I like LeBron. But if he's not, probably not going to watch any NBA. Hockey, I've tried, can't really get into it, but my best friends are all Islanders fans, so I'm an Islander fan in theory, and I'll watch if they're in the playoffs. And then NFL, that man, it, NFL can just be really, really boring at times or really, really good, as we've seen. So I don't watch football until like the last few weeks of the regular season, and then I'll watch the playoffs. So I've been watching every game recently. And in the past few years, I've become a Niners fan out of nowhere. So this was a crushing loss for me recently.
Crushing. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't like it when the Yankees fans come on here, because there's not really like a good like counterpoint. I'm a Blue Jays fan. Like, I'm like, oh, sorry to hear that. You know, it's like the Yankees are really good. There's no like, like insulting you for being a Yankees fan. Okay, fun. Corey, what about you?
Yeah. So I have absolutely been, on and off sports for my entire life, starting when I developed, asthma as a young child and developed a hatred for sports. You know, from there, I became a baseball fan. But then when, as a young child, the Marlins won the World Series, which that was my team. And then they sold everybody. And yes,
as they tend to do.
Yes, they tend to do. Then I just was done with baseball. So I haven't watched baseball since. I jumped on the Seahawks bandwagon in about 2011, 2012, the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson era.
Yeah.
And I have not jumped off. That got me really back into football. So I'm all on the NFL, on the NFL train. That's my favorite sport. I don't know if I have any Olympic tics for you today, but my wife has a figure skating background and has family who are figure skating choreographers. So while I have the background, I don't know how many cool takes I have for you about the Winter Olympics or anything like that.
Cool takes are the best ones about the Winter Olympics. That's fun. That's great. And Cam, what about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you see behind me, I got a Giants poster behind, if you notice. So a lot of people, when they see that poster behind me, they think I'm from New York. I'm like, no, like, it's crazy because, like, honestly, if people, like, ask me, all my teams outside the Giants are Texas teams. Like,
okay,
you know, I'm a Texas Longhorn fan. Uh-huh. Love the Spurs, San Antonio Spurs. You know, I don't really like the Astros that much, but. But outside of like, you know, the major sports, like those particular ones, like I love my basketball and my football, because like I said, those two sports, honestly, like I feel like they're just fun to watch. Like if you go to like a game, I don't know if all y'all have been to like basketball or football games, like the experience is just way better watching it in person than watching it on TV, because it's just like the fans and just like whether your team loses or wins, it's always a crazy environment, because like, I like going to like rivalry games too. Like, have you been to like the big rivalry games that happen around the country, especially college football? That's like probably, I think my favorite sport is college football, because like the environment is like nothing other. And like, you get to see like, just like how hard these players like work hard. And then now with like the nil deals that are going on, which is kind of crazy. Like you probably could have a whole podcast talking about how much money people are giving to these players now. But
yeah.
It's just cool to kind of just see how everything's evolving. And I think college football is almost like a minor league system now, where you have, you know, if you heard about Quinn Ears, he got like paid like a lot of money to go to Texas.
Right.
And there was like a whole big deal about it when originally he went to Ohio State and then he went to Texas, you know, after that whole big ordeal with that. So I think it's just cool to kind of just, you know, follow those things, really.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, you know, the reason why I was excited about this, you know, the sports wrap up is that like there's so many fun stories. I mean, this I feel like I could not have gotten luckier to like start this podcast around this particular NFL postseason. The stories of this season have been so fun. College basketball is a big blind spot for me, Cam, but you can enlighten me as the sports wrap up continues, because I know a lot of people love college sports, specifically college basketball, college football. So. But yeah, let's start with the big story of the weekend. To me, it feels like, the NFL playoffs just keep rolling. They, continue to, they have another, weekend. And to be honest, I was watching, the beginning of the, Bengals Chiefs game, and, the Chiefs, pulled ahead, 21-10. And it felt like, can anybody stop the Chiefs? That's what I was thinking. You know, the Bills probably had the best shot to stop the Chiefs. I was thinking, yes, this feels like, you know, they kind of get stopped right before the half. They don't convert another touchdown, but the Chiefs come out and go 3-for-3 on opening drives. It's felt like, yeah, this is the team. They're going to make it to the Super Bowl. Nobody else has really been as offensively strong as this Kansas City Chiefs. And then the second half of the game where the Kansas City Chiefs, let go of their lead. The Bengals tied up and then score a field goal in overtime, Cam.
Yeah, like that game was crazy. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I almost turned the game off. Like, that's how crazy the game was. Yeah. Cause like, I don't know about y'all, but when I see a game is like way out of hand, like it was, like, I'm like, I'm not watching. I'm gonna go turn. And then I'm gonna, you know, check my Twitter feed. Cause that's usually what I do. Like, when a game's like crazy like that, I like, you know, check my Twitter feed, you know, 30 minutes later. It's like, oh shoot, you know, you see someone talking about the score and some, oh, let me turn back. So yeah, it was nuts because like you said, I honestly thought the Chiefs were going to win Super Bowl this year. Like, I thought it was a done deal, especially how they won last weekend. And yeah, I thought the Bills got screwed on that. Like, that's like, I hate the overtime rules in NFL. Like, it's the worst overtime rules in probably all of the sports because you should give like a game that great. Like, that could have been a Super Bowl if it would have been two teams from different, you know, leagues. It just would have been amazing to watch. And then not having the chance to go out there and run it back and try to match the score, like, that's a whole nother topic altogether. But yeah, I just don't know what happened. Like, I don't know what Mahomes was doing. Like, Mahomes just, like, he choked. Like, and I didn't expect that. Like, you know, I expected, you know, Rodgers to do that last week, but Mahomes to do it this week, you know, I don't know. It was nuts. You know, Joe Burrow, you know, people been talking about Joe Burrow. People talk about Baker Mayfield, but Joe Burrow is everything that people thought Baker Mayfield was. You know, the media was talking about Baker Mayfield. They were hyping this guy up.
And Baker Mania has only just begun.
Fan. So, you know, me, I'm going to hate on Baker more than most people. But
yeah, well, who does better commercials, Cam? I mean,
Baker.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I mean, like you said, Cam, I don't know what's going on. It seems like Kansas City just got their 21 points or whatever, and they're like, we're good to go from now. This is fine. We don't need any more. Much like you, I was on my phone for maybe like a full quarter of the game, and then I looked up from Twitter and I was like, wait, what's going on? And then, I mean, you guys, I mean, everyone, I think even more now than recently, I've seen people are really starting to hate against the overtime rules in football, especially with these last 2 weeks. And you all talked about it on the podcast last week with the overtime games. And I have to agree that I just can't. It's every other sport, you at least have a chance. You should not be able to go into overtime and lose the game because of a coin flip. It just makes no sense to me.
You see how excited the Chiefs fans were when they won that coin toss?
They thought they won the game. I'm glad the Bengals got to like have that interception, because that at least they, you know, you can't say Kansas City didn't have a chance because they obviously did. And then the Bengals. But I mean, yeah, what a story. I don't think anyone predicted the Bengals to be here. So I feel like now that my guy Jimmy G is out of contention, might as well just hop on the Bengals bandwagon here and root for them in the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, Corey, what did you think of this game? It seemed like it was going to be a blowout by the end of the first half, and obviously does not turn out to be a blowout.
Absolutely. And what I was going to say about the overtime, obviously I will reach a consensus here about the overtime rules as no one would probably expect otherwise, but it was almost very triggering for a second when I saw Mahomes start to, you know, throw the ball down the field and they're starting to work their way toward the end zone again. And the first, you know, first drive of overtime, just like last, just like the last round. And it was tough, but it was really wild to see what happened to the Chiefs in the second half of that game. I mean, I noted specifically that the Bengals secondary must have been, I didn't see because they never show that stuff in football. And it's always a really big thing for me too. But, and I think someone else that I was talking to was mentioning that as well, but the secondary was doing a great job. I saw so many plays where Mahomes did his usual magic, getting out of the pocket, scrambling around, dodging people. And there was no one to throw to. He just was completely covered up, and he eventually just had to take the sack. It was just like waiting for him. It was inevitable, right? And that was probably the difference maker to me. And I do think the momentum changed at that last play, Grace, that you mentioned of the first half.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't make it in the end zone, and they had typical like Andy Reid clock management.
Yeah, Mahomes is calling for a timeout. There's no timeouts left. They kind of like threw an option, and he doesn't make it into the end zone. They would have been up another whole touchdown. And it just sort of felt like, yeah, it just was bad play calling and bad, you know, just that was sort of like a lackluster way to end the first half, even though they had been so dominant, so good up to that point.
Right. Yeah. That was almost like the slight momentum shift in my mind, but it still did obviously take a while for things to heat back up. Pretty wild game. And I'm really, it was almost like I don't actually dislike the Chiefs, but it almost was a little bit redemption for the Chiefs Bills game, and it does make me very excited for the Super Bowl to root for the Bengals. As a Seahawks fan, I know we haven't gotten the other game yet, but that was a nightmare for me. And, you know, the nightmare would have continued either way. So I'm excited to root for the Bengals in the Super Bowl personally. And I think it's a, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Chiefs, and the Bengals are doing incredible and really amazing underdog story. The rebuild was like, what, 2 years long before they started performing?
Yep.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, if you look at like what they had to do to get here, right? They have to beat the Raiders in the last week of or in the wild card game. Then they have to go and play the Titans at home, which they do, and then they beat the Chiefs, who really felt like the odds-on favorite to not just make it to the Super Bowl, but I think for sure win the Super Bowl. And you know, I do think that there's a lot to be said about like Mahomes kind of struggling in the second half, just, you know, whether they felt like sort of he didn't need to be as on as he had been, which is like a little bit, I think, counterintuitive to like, you know, the scores that they had put up the previous 2 weeks. Like, gosh, they're like that, you know, you'd have to go back, talk more about last week's game, but like, yeah, Mahomes versus Allen, like they, but maybe it was that like drive of them both driving each other that like kept them going. Whereas perhaps this game, you know, he wasn't expecting much out of Joe Burrow, but I do think like you can give a lot of credit to the Bengals defense in stopping, Mahomes. Yeah. What do you think, Cam?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always thought, honestly, like the game was weird because I thought the biggest weakness for the Bengals is definitely their offensive line. Like that's like the thing I was most worried about. Cause I like, you know, Burrow, he's been getting hit all season long. And I was like, there's no way they're going to be able to win this game if they can't protect him, you know, but they have a lot of weapons. And I think the Bengals is probably the most complete team like that in the playoffs, in my personal opinion, because they really don't have that many weaknesses outside of that. It's just like, that's like a huge thing in football. Like if you don't have a good old line, like, you know, most teams, they usually don't perform well, but he is calm under pressure. Like, that's why, like, I think he's not the most talented quarterback in the world, but he just does his job and he's just really, really solid. And I think that's why, like, I think they're probably the favorites to win it all, because I don't think that there's anything that they can't get over, because they already beat some of the best teams in football to get there. So it's going to be fun to watch a Super Bowl that really no one expected. Like, I don't think anyone before the season expected this matchup. Like if you ask anybody this, if they said that they were, they're lying to you. Cause it's
just the way we drew it up. Yeah. Bengals Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody on, I think on the podcast last week had like, you know, I think if any matchup of that, like any combo based on the four teams left, we're saying like, yep, probably going to be Bengals Rams. So yeah, it's I don't know. It'd be interesting next week with it. You know, we haven't gotten to the Rams and the Niners, but it is, the game is at the Rams home stadium. So that is interesting. I think last year the Buccaneers won at their home stadium. So the Rams are going to try and go back to back winning in their home stadium. Does not feel like the two teams that people that would be there. But I think the Bengals, they've proven, you know, they can beat good teams. So it feels like certainly they could beat the Rams. And the point I was making with the offense or their defense being so good is that really in that first half, like part of the problem felt like Mahomes just had so many options he can go to. And I think credit to the Bengals that they can like limit his options, basically where he has like no options and just can't move the ball down the field like he did in the first half. So fun game. Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl. We'll see. Let's shift gear. We'll shift gears over to the 49ers at the Rams. Another really close game comes down to, at the end of the game there, the Rams pulling out a victory. Garoppolo throws an interception to end the game. I thought another really fun game, really tight, really close. It was fun. What'd you think, Matt?
I mean, these are the quarterbacks I like to root for here with Jimmy G. Like I said, I'm a Niners fan, and only within the last couple of years, the way I have always looked at football is I've always rooted more for players than the teams. And that's mostly with any sport except for baseball. I'm mostly an individual first person. And, you know, so within the last couple of guys I've been rooting for have been like Kaepernick and then Jimmy G, who have both been on the Niners. So I've really settled into a nice Niners group here. There's a much larger list of teams I root against in the NFL than teams I root for. So
that might have been Jimmy G's last interception.
I don't know
as a 49er. So
I don't know what's going to happen because I've gotten so used to rooting for the 49ers now. I might have to follow Jimmy G elsewhere. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
So And the quarterbacks I am always rooting for are the ones that I guess are kind of average, but people are always kind of hating on them. And I kind of just take it upon myself, even though I don't really know much about football, just to be the guy that says, no, you're all wrong. They're actually a really good quarterback. You know, I do it with Jimmy G. I do it with Baker Mayfield. I did it with Kaepernick. I did it with Tebow back in the day. This is my lot in life that I'm just always arguing in favor of the quarterback that everyone's railing against. So watching, and I thought we had it. I thought I was going to have the smug smile on my face saying that the Niners were in the Super Bowl all because of Jimmy G, you know, of course, tongue in cheek, saying that every single week that Jimmy G was the one leading them. And then, you know, at some point it just all started to go downhill. And when Jimmy G has the ball with a chance to lead his team to victory, it's not the same feeling as when, you know, Tom Brady has it, or when, you know, someone else was in that game with the Kansas City and the Bills, when they each had another chance. Like, you're like, oh, something magic's gonna happen here. When Jimmy G got it, I was like, boy, I hope something magic happens, but I don't know how this is going to end. And then, of course, it ended in disaster.
I know, you kind of just need Jimmy to just do like as much as possible. You kind of need like, okay, get the lead and then just like hope your defense can like keep you in it. I have a friend who's a 49ers fan who just kept messaging like, it certainly feels like Cooper Kupp's just going to get like he's going to get a big catch and like put them in like field goal position to see exactly what happens at the end of the game. It just sort of like, it felt, I don't know, the Rams felt kind of, even though it's a very close game, felt a little bit inevitable at the end, even with Stafford, that like, yeah, this was just not the 49ers game to win. They get the ball back with a little bit of time left on the clock, but just cannot do anything with it, Cam.
This was a weird game to watch, honestly. I agree with you. Like, it felt like the Rams, even when they were down like 10 points, you know, it was weird that I never thought that the 49ers were going to win the game. Like, I felt like, you know, with Stafford, you know, and Stafford, his story is so interesting to me because he was stuck in Detroit for years.
Yeah.
And like, he's a great quarterback. Like, I think everybody here can agree with this. Stafford's a great quarterback. He has a Hall of Fame numbers, but he was on a bad team for a long time. And then had another Hall of Famer with them, with Megatron, for years. And he retired early. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other topic altogether. But I think, Stafford, and then another underrated player, Odell Beckham, you know, that's a connection right there. So I would, if they win the Super Bowl, I won't be mad, because I feel like that's a great underdog story. People thought Odell Beckham was overrated, but really, I go back to Baker Mayfield again.
I mean, you know? some would say Odell Beckham was the reason the Browns lost all those games and not Baker Mayfield.
At least one
person would say that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Stafford's a great quarterback. I think he could, I definitely could see the, like, you know, him winning the Super Bowl. They made a lot of moves. I think they were showing yesterday, like, they don't have a first round pick until like 2024, 2026. I can't remember. Like, they pushed their chips in, and definitely feels like they could win, especially with the game being in Los Angeles next week. It feels very storybook in some ways. But what do you think, Corey?
Yeah, the one thing I have no idea, like, I agree with most of the takes so far. I do not know how you could call the Rams an underdog team. That's one take I vehemently disagree with. I know that I'm biased, but it's the LA team here buying all the free agents. It doesn't really feel like they're the underdog for me personally. I do really like Stafford. Stafford is definitely someone on a team who I definitely can root for. So on that side, I think, There's a great story for him at the very least, and I can respect that side for sure. I was expecting this game to be different because the 49ers have been messy all season long, but it's been working out for them, and I think mostly because they have Debo Samuel. Personally,
it's the it's my biggest reason I'm very sad they lost, is that that's the end of Debo Samuel for the year.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's interesting though, because the 49ers, you know, there's this NFC West circle of parity where the Seahawks, you know, the Seahawks always destroy the 49ers. The 49ers always destroy the Rams. The Rams always destroy the Seahawks. And the Cardinals are just kind of there, right? And so the 49ers beat the Rams twice in the regular season. And I was, as much as it was hard for me to root for a team, I was definitely going for the 49ers just for that, you know, just to continue the cycle. Right. All must be right in the world. And the teams have to beat the teams in the cycle, except for the Cardinals, who can do whatever they want. And, you know, that was so it was a little disappointing for me. But the game itself, I didn't feel like it was quite as exciting for me. But again, a little biased. but it definitely was still very fun to watch, and a lot of really explosive plays as well that I really enjoyed.
I thought the end of the game was very exciting. I think unless you're a 49ers fan, in which it felt like just like the slow crunching, the circle, it was like closing in. Yeah. But I think if you're anybody else who just wants a good game, you know, them coming back, the Niners blowing a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, is pretty fun.
Yeah. Definitely a good game. Yeah. I mean,
Final thoughts on Rams 49ers? We'll jump into a little bit of a preview of the Super Bowl. So as is mentioned, next week, not next week, 2 weeks from now, Super Bowl Sunday, February 13th, I believe. We have the Bengals playing the Rams in Los Angeles. I don't know, should we just jump in with predictions? What do you think? I guess maybe this week we could do head or heart, which is, what does your head think? Who do you think will win? But who does your heart want to win? Bengals or Rams? What are you, Corey?
Yeah, first of all, I am offended that you skipped over the Pro Bowl, which everyone cares about. Mm-hmm. And where are Pro Bowl predictions? But
we'll be covering it extensively next
week. You're having the big Pro Bowl special next week, right?
Where
two and a half hours all on the Pro Bowl.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
But as far as Super Bowl goes, no surprise based on what I've said already.
Yep.
My heart goes with Bengals. My head, I don't know. I think that do the Rams have an on day or an off day, right? Sometimes they look absolutely unstoppable, and sometimes they look very, very stoppable. And I think it's sort of a coin flip for me. I think that if they come out there and they can work their way down the field, then Bengals are in trouble. But I do think the Bengals have shown that their defense can stand up to a high powered offense. So
yeah.
I'm going to just go with the official, staying out of the head. I think it's like a coin toss for me in terms of what my head thinks.
Yeah. Fair enough. What about you, Cam?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really tough to me because I feel like both these teams are evenly matched. So it's like, it's not like most Super Bowls, you know, cause I feel like the last five Super Bowls, I feel like there was a clear favorite. Like, I don't know, I don't know what the line is on this, but like, I feel like it can't be more than 3 points just because I feel like Corey said, like, I really don't know who's going to win over the other. Like, but I want the Bengals to win because I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow and what they're doing. But also at the same time, I like when, you know, players like Odell Beckham can show people that he is still an elite wide receiver. Cause before this year happened, people thought he was washed. So, yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know, like, I think I'll probably say head will be Bengals, and heart, I'll say the Rams for sure.
What about you, Matt?
All right. So, first of all, kind of wild that second year in a row that there will be a home team in the Super Bowl after, like, it hadn't happened, like, ever. Like, I don't know if it's happened before, but definitely not in my memory. So, shout out to that fun statistic, but. You know, I have jumped on the Bengals bandwagon, as I said, so I'll definitely be rooting for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people think they might not have a good chance, but I didn't think they were going to win any of the games that they played, and they just keep winning. So who's to say it can't happen again? The only difference is I have not been rooting for them in the other game. So now that I'm rooting for them, I'm sure I will give them some bad luck. So
So
nothing I want to happen actually does happen. So Rams probably will win, and it probably won't even be a good game. But my official prediction will be that the Bengals win.
Okay. I kind of want the Bengals to win. I think it's, just a more fun story. They didn't win a playoff game for so many years. I think that's fun for them to come and win. But I just feel like I can see Stafford, winning, next week, pulling out, just having a good game at home. I think my head says the Rams and my heart wants the Bengals to win. We'll be back in 2 weeks time with our post Super Bowl coverage, I guess to be determined, but we'll chat through all of that, and I'm sure all the fun festivities that go along with it. Do you guys have any like Super Bowl traditions?
My Super Bowl tradition is find out who's throwing the best party and just go there and not even really pay attention to the game. But just kind of, you know, when a big play happens, look up. But mostly I use Super Bowl as a big social event. And just try, obviously can't be a huge party anymore with the times we are living in, but hopefully
follow your local health guidelines.
Hopefully there is still some kind of small safe get together that I can go to. And that is, that's pretty much what I do. Just always a great excuse to drink and have fun.
Yeah. Eat good food.
Exactly.
Corey, you have Super Bowl traditions?
Yeah. I think the last two Super Bowl parties I went to were the two Seahawks Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And then I really haven't been to any since. I've just hung out at home with my family. Now, those were amazing experiences, right? Like, I live in Colorado, so that first Seahawks Super Bowl against the Broncos
That's fun.
Was incredible. Everyone mocked me. They tried to put me in a little room with a tiny TV, and everyone was laughing. And then the very first play with it, ball goes over Peyton's head, and he looks like a doofus, was like just the beginning of an amazing evening for me.
Yes.
And then the next year was less so. But anyway, the Super Bowl parties were fun. Maybe one day we'll get back to that when I don't have small children or a pandemic. But right now, probably just going to hang out at home and maybe try to make a little party out of it so that the kids stay interested. But that's pretty much all I'm doing.
Cam?
Yeah, so I'm like with Corey with this. Like, I usually don't do anything crazy with the Super Bowl. Like, I usually just be at the house. But the last time I went to a Super Bowl party was the Falcons Patriots one. Mm-hmm. That was probably the craziest. Y'all remember that? That was the craziest game I've ever seen in my life. And I was telling people, I was like, man, I don't know how much money Vegas made that day.
Yeah.
People thought they won. They probably jumped for joy, all that stuff. And then 28-3, and then Brady just came back and they choked it. That was the most fun experience I've ever seen. Like, watching any game, like, not being a fan of either team, just watching a game and just unfold like that. Like, after that game, I was like, yeah, Brady's the GOAT. There's no way, because no other quarterback would do what he did. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, I hope like our luck has not run out here in this playoffs. I hope the game next week is fun, because we've had some very, very fun football games these last few weeks. But feels like in some ways our luck could have run out, with the invoices due for a boring Super Bowl game. But we'll see. Fun halftime show. It's like Eminem. Who else is in the halftime show?
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. All right. Is there any reason to watch the Pro Bowl next week? Is there any reason? Is there fun? Is there anybody we should be looking out for next week in the Pro Bowl?
I mean, maybe if you have money on it, maybe there's a reason to watch
it. If you gamble on it,
Mahomes is going to be there.
Oh, is he? That makes okay. Yeah,
Patrick
Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Herbert. I was pretty sad to see the Chargers not make it in. Yeah, okay, all right. I'll watch it, but I'll watch the highlights.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we're going to shift gears from the NFL. Let's chat about, Matt, you've been staying up late to watch tennis. We had the Australian Open finals. I feel like two very fun stories came out of this Australian Open finals. In the men's side, Rafael Nadal beats Daniil Medvedev in a comeback victory. Was down two sets, comes back in three straight to win his 21st Grand Slam title. Super fun game. Over on the women's side, this was the story. It's like, can Barty win on her home turf? And she does just that. So I thought two very fun finals here, two very fun like sports stories. I thought Nadal looked kind of beatable throughout the tournament. I think he had like had some kind of rough showings, but can't doubt him. He wins, he pulls it out, and very fun to see Barty win at home. What did you think of the Australian Open finals there, Matt?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, it was so weird last night going to bed before the sun was up. That was a first that I hadn't done that in a couple of weeks. I was like, this is very, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but I eventually was able to fall asleep. But yeah. And you've been, I don't want to say you've been lucky, but I think you started this podcast at the exact right time because you start the NFL playoffs are, you know, starting up and you have like some of the best NFL playoff games ever.
Yes.
And you say, all right, let's do the Australian Open final. Let's cover that next week. We have like the best match that I've ever seen, that 5-set match. I didn't even care that it was, it literally took 5.5 hours. I was like, I don't even want to go to bed at this point, but yeah.
It looks like Medvedev didn't even care that it went like 5 hours. He was like, that was so fun. That was what a great game of tennis in his interview at the end. Yeah, it was great.
He was. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, by the time the match was over, he was in good spirits. During the match, he seemed to be getting mad because I mean, this
was very mad.
This was definitely a home match for Barty, but it almost seemed like it was a home match for Nadal. Like everyone in the stadium was rooting for Nadal there, and they would not shut up when Medvedev was trying to serve. Much to his chagrin, he was yelling at the chair umpires to quiet down the crowd and like threatened to kick them out. So he could,
did you see his post game interview? Did you see this? He commented on the crowd. He said he's something along the, he's like he's not sure how much he'll love tennis moving forward. The crowd. Basically, like the crowd was you know supporting Nadal like pretty ferociously. Not super keen on Medvedev. He kind of pointed out that like there would be times where like somebody would start to cheer for him and people would like make like almost like snake noises at like try to like drown him out. Anybody who was supporting him. So he's getting really frustrated at this idea that like people just couldn't support him. And he's basically just saying after the game, he was saying like, yeah, it just kind of like dampers my love of tennis a little bit. And like, I don't know that I'm going to want to play. And like, you know, for another, like, you know, I'm like 30 years old. I don't know if I want to play for another, like, you know, 10 years. So, it's pretty wild comments. I thought
it's pretty unfortunate because, and Medvedev, I don't know when he became the villain, but he seems like a very nice guy, but it seemed like throughout the whole tournament, people were rooting against him. The announcers at one point were calling him the skinny villain. Like, I don't know why.
He's a big Russian bad guy. You know?
Yeah,
all sports need a big Russian bad guy, I think.
So. And I was rooting for him. Luckily for me, I picked the three people I was rooting for in the beginning, Medvedev, Nadal, and Berrettini, all made it into the semifinals, which I mean, so on the men's side, I was very happy with how things turned out. On the women's side, everyone I voted for got knocked out pretty decently early. So that was definitely a shame because there's some women players that I root much harder for than people on the men's side. So it was a shame to see all of them get knocked out before even like the quarterfinals. But then on the other side, pretty much like every single man that I was rooting for made it into the quarterfinals. So I guess, you know, I couldn't have it both ways. At least I got, you know, something good out of it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, gosh, the Nadal Medvedev game was so fun. If folks haven't watched it, there's I think Australian Open YouTube channel. What sometimes like I wasn't watching, I was not staying late to watch these games. I would watch these like 8-minute clips of the highlights of the game. I did watch an extended version for the Nadal Medvedev game, but yeah, he was up two sets and then.
Nadal goes down 2-0, and there was another match in the quarterfinals. Like pretty much everyone that advanced in the quarterfinals went to 5 sets in that round somehow. But Nadal was up 2-0, and he actually blew it to go to the 5th set before ultimately winning. And because it just seemed like he got so tired, like in the 3rd and 4th set before finding a second wind. So he is 35 years old.
That was against the Canadian.
I do root for both of the Canadians. They're also two players that I really enjoy watching playing. So it was hard to root against them, but you know, when push came to shove, I had to do it. But yeah, so Nadal would get tired. Like like you said, he seemed beatable at certain points in the tournament, and he would get tired before eventually finding a second win in like the fifth set and pulling through. So then when he went down 2-0, I was like, I don't know if he's going to be able to find his second win in time to do this. And he goes down 3-2. Well, before that even. So they like to show the win predictor on the screen, like at various points in the match. After he goes down 2-0, it showed Medvedev was 94% to win and Nadal was 6% to win. And this was even before he goes down in the third set. So Nadal goes down 3-2 in the third set and is down love 40 in that game. So he's about to go down 4-2. And at that point, literally John McEnroe, who was announcing, goes, well, it's over now for Nadal. There's really nothing he can do. And at that point, I was like, wow, I can't believe John McEnroe like was so ballsy in saying that. Like, I agree with him. It's obviously over, but I can't believe he actually said that. And I don't know if Nadal heard him or what happened, because it was at that very moment. I don't know if anyone believes in jinxes, if they think it's real, but at that exact moment, he ties it at 40, ends up winning that game, goes on obviously to end up winning that set. And then, you know, from there on, it was an Nadal show. There was a certain point in the fourth set, he's down, still down two sets to one. But I was even in the fourth set, I was like, this is officially Nadal's to lose at this point. He has all the momentum. Yeah. The fans are rooting for him. You get to the fifth set. By the time the fifth set rolls around, my friends are waking up and texting me, like, you watching this? Like, yeah, I've been watching this since 3:30. I don't know why you guys have just started watching.
Some of the shots he made were like absolutely incredible. Oh, this is one where he like gets all the way across the line and just like returns it right down the line. It's like right. It's like, yeah, it was he's incredible. I thought his outfit.
I love his outfit.
You love it.
I love his outfit. I love it. He was wearing like that, like magenta, like purple.
Yeah,
like
Corey
shirt.
If I told you that the best tennis player in the world, or the best men's tennis player in the world right now, he was wearing like a magenta, a purpley shirt with lime, like basically lime green headbands and armbands.
It was like teal. It was like a teal headband, armband type of thing. I thought it was
those 8 minute highlights as you are both talking about it.
What do you think of his look? What do you think?
I think he pulls it off.
Yes, he really does. I thought you were going to say that you liked it, and I was ready to emphatically agree with you, Grace. I really enjoyed it. I thought I really enjoyed watching him just for that reason alone. But
you're talking about John McEnroe talks where he's like, it's over. I noticed in the, I can't remember which game, Tony Romo at some point is just like, that's it. Like, I think it was the Bengals game. He's like, that's it. The Bengals are going to the Super Bowl before the game is over. I think they still have a play. Like, Cam, what do you think of, like, should announcers be like this? Should they just like, isn't that what we want? Don't we want announcers to just like speak truth? Like, just say what's on your mind, right? Isn't that what we want?
Yeah, like I think that's why I like college football announcers the most. Yeah. I feel like you see those announcers like have biases towards certain teams. Like, and some of them I hate it. But at times I'm like, okay, at least they're being honest about who they're rooting for, you know? So it's kind of cool when you see someone like outside of the other sports, like, you know, root for, you know, and say, oh, okay, we want this person to win. Or they dog the players. Like, I'm like, you ever watch games where they dog a certain player because they're playing bad? And, you know, you're like, oh man, they're being a little brutal. They're being more brutal than I'll be.
I think the commentators who have done it have played before, right? Like, can get away with it a little bit more. Yeah. Like, if I was commentating a game, it was like, that guy really stinks. Like, I don't think I'm allowed to commentate anymore.
Well, yeah, that's another reason I liked listening to McEnroe, because I think I do like that they are so willing to like make those like ballsy comments. I just took me by surprise. But another thing that McEnroe was doing that really made me laugh throughout the thing with like everyone else is so positive. Like, whenever Nadal would get a great like slam or something, they'd be like, oh, look what Nadal did there. Also, Nadal's drops were just working so well, like his drop shots, whereas Medvedev's just were not. But every time like Nadal would have like a big slam on the other side, everyone would be like, oh, look at that. And then McEnroe would be like, yeah, but what was Medvedev even doing on that side of the court? Like, this should have never happened. And he was the first person to just say everything that Medvedev did wrong.
I thought the story here, like Nadal, the comeback, you know, he's an older player, so just felt like he was kind of like, you know, after being down 2 sets, that's kind of it. He's gonna, you know, Medvedev will find a way to get the third at some point. Yeah. And just doesn't. But gosh, I just thought, like, you know, we're talking about Medvedev kind of being upset about the fans jeering him, I just thought like his attitude at the end of the game was like, was I do want athletes to like speak their mind and say what they mean, and I think the interesting thing about Medvedev is that I get that from him, even though he's being such a gracious sport. He's like in his speech when he's like, he gets the silver, he's kind of like turning and looking. He's just like, I thought you were too tired. Like, I thought I was just gonna like win.
Fun.
And like, he's like complimenting him and also being like, yeah, you're like, I thought you were a tired little man, basically. Like, I just think he's like a very interesting figure. This is, for me, the first time I've like sort of dived into tennis. I often like will know who wins or whatever, but actually watching them. But I thought Medvedev is really fun. If he had a won, he would have been ranked number one in the world. So
He'll be back. Medvedev just won the U.S. Open. He'll be back. There'll be plenty more opportunities. He's only 25 to Nadal's 35. But Nadal now, obviously, you said it at the top of the show, but got to say, first one to 21 major titles now.
Yeah.
Him and Djokovic and Federer were all famously tied at 20. And now with Federer injured for the foreseeable future and Djokovic refusing to get vaccinated for the foreseeable future. And now Nadal's specialty, the French Open, is coming up, where he just pretty much wins every year.
Yeah.
So he might be able to tack on another one. And I just want to see, hopefully Nadal can pad his stats a little more before he ages even more. And Djokovic, who knows when he'll be back, starts coming down his tail again. So I just want Nadal to stretch out the lead a little bit and make it so that he is the leader all time in men's titles. I love that for him, and just want to see that continue.
Yeah. And the women's side, I think I would touch on it, but like Ashley Barty winning in Australia, it's just like, it's super cool. Comes into the tournament as the number one ranked seed and pulls out the victory. I get annoyed, but as I started to watch, I did the preview with Ariel, and as I was watching it, the women's sets are best of three, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it annoys me a little bit.
It annoys me as well. I don't know why it happens, and no one has told it to me, so I am just assuming it is just a big conspiracy to give everyone a reason to pay women tennis players less money so that they can
get paid the same, but like,
that was my theory. So
stupid idiots a reason to be like, they should actually be paid.
Well, less. Then there it is. Now you're creating the talking points where people are like, oh, they should probably get paid less because they're not playing as much. But it's not like they can't play as much. I don't think any of them are saying like, we can't play five sets. I'd love to see it, because you know, sometimes I'm just getting into a match when the third set happens, and sometimes in women's it's over after two.
I definitely felt, I mean, Barty wins on the tiebreak set in the second set, and I actually was like, felt like Collins doesn't have a great showing. She loses 6-3, and then it's Barty wins 7-6, and I was like, yeah, kind of want more. I want to see them play more tennis. It's too bad. It's just like she wins two sets, and that's the game. But that's women's tennis.
Yeah. If you like watching tennis, you'll probably hate Barty, because her matches were all so short. They were like, not only did she not lose a set in the entire tournament, so she swept them all 2-0 every single round, but she was not even going deep into sets. Like every single match was like an hour to an hour and a half long. They were over in like record timing. I know before the semifinals, her opponents were averaging 1.7 games won against her per set. So she was winning every set, like 6-1, 6-2.
Wow.
Like nothing was even close. She was cruising through the tournament. It looked like it was hers to lose the whole time. Obviously, we said that the fans were on the side of Nadal. Obviously, even like more so with Barty as the hometown hero. Very cool. No one had, an Australian hadn't won the Australian Open since 1978. So she's the first one to do that in 44 years, I guess. Yeah.
Math,
44 years. So that is very impressive. Like, and I wasn't rooting for her throughout the tournament because it was kind of boring, you know, just the one seed cruising to victory. But by the time it got to the finals and that whole crowd at 85% capacity, because that was the rule, an interesting line to draw it. I'm not sure what the big difference between 85 and 100 is, but they probably know something I don't. But yeah, the whole, like, it seemed full to me as they were all cheering on Barty. It was impossible to root against her. And then when she finally won, and she's just another one, she just seems like so humble and like fun to be around. Her post-game interviews were always very fun. She just seemed happy to be there. And, you know, good for her. She definitely deserved it. She killed the whole tournament. It was just very impressive to watch. I thought she was going to lose the second set there. She's down 5-1 in the second set, and I was like, this is it, this will be the first set Barty wins. And then she just came, she turned
first
on
set
another
she'll
switch
lose. Yeah, no, she, but she just turns it back on. Yeah,
she was like, nope, I'll take it from here, and then ties it up, wins a tiebreaker. It was outstanding to watch.
So I mean, I think this is Cam and Corey,
guys, speak
before
up,
that you you know, are not huge tennis fans, but Matt, you got into tennis a year ago. Like, I'm interested, like, Cam and Corey, is there a reason you, like, is there a question you would ask? Like, he got into tennis 1 year ago. Look, he's like an expert. He came on and he's like spitting all these facts. Yeah.
No, what's funny? No, what's funny is like, I used to watch tennis a lot when Venus and Serena were like killing it. Like, and then I just got disinterested. Like, it just wasn't like, I know who Federer and Nadal and, you know, Joker. I know who those players are. Watch sports and stuff like that. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like women's tennis always was just more exciting to me.
Yeah, that's
I agree. I don't know. Just the personalities of the people playing on the women's side, it's just so much more rootable. Like, I am a big Sabalenka is my favorite player to root for. When you had Ariel on, he was saying she's kind of the best that haven't won something, and I'm still waiting. It's been one long year for me that I've been rooting for.
She got knocked down the fourth round, right?
She did. She tends to choke. She has a problem with serving where she'll like get the yips and just like she'll stop being able to serve and just double fault all over the place.
Okay.
Like, so there are times, and they'll say like, if Sabalenka,
can you explain what the yips are? I feel like many of the folks who have wandered in here from the Seinfeld will know the yips, but maybe not everybody.
So it's like mostly like a psychological thing, more so than like a technical thing that she's doing wrong. Like, she'll just get in her own head and she'll like miss. She probably leads something with like double faults because her serve is very good, but it's very all over the place. And if she gets in a stretch where she like misses a few serves in a row, all of a sudden there's something where she just can't get it within the line. She'll serve it out of bounds. She'll serve it against the net. There was the tournament that happened before the Australian Open, obviously not a major. It was just like, I don't know exactly what it was, if it was a qualifying thing or just like a regular season type tournament, but she could not serve so badly. Like, she started crying mid match and had to serve underhand. She could not get the serve in the line. She had to serve underhand and finish the match out like that. And luckily she was able to psychologically figure it out before the Australian Open happened. But yeah, she just gets in her head. She tends to kind of choke at a certain point, but then also sometimes she'll be in the right headspace and just be able to come back. So that's why it's so fun for me to watch a player like that. And it's so fun. She gets so into it. Like, she will be slamming her racket if she misses a point.
That's what I'm saying. Players with emotion. Give me more.
Exactly.
Of it.
Yeah. And I'm kind of happy she hasn't won a major yet, because now I can say that I will be there for the first one when she finally does win. Be very excited when that finally happens.
Corey, when we cover Mario tennis on the podcast, you will be my first guest.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'd like to challenge anyone in Wii Sports Tennis. That I was very good
back in the day. Yeah. That was a great game.
It's so good.
Amazing. Any final thoughts on what's next? What's the next, what should we be looking out for in the tennis world? What comes next?
So yeah, for a while, there's just going to be like mini tournaments that really no one cares about. The women seem to all be off this week. There's a few men's tournaments right now. There's one in Argentina, one in France, and one in India where, you know, not everyone, obviously the people that went super.
That's deep, a lot of time zones for you, man. I worry. Exactly.
Yeah. Obviously I don't worry about watching those live. Obviously people that made kind of deep runs in the Australian Open are sitting these out unless they kind of have like a home field like allegiance. Like, Diego Schwartzman is from Argentina, so he's playing in the one in Argentina, stuff like that. And it's just, you know, nothing big, but it's just, you know,
what's the next big Grand Slam?
So the next big Grand Slam isn't going to be until the French Open, which is end of May. I believe it starts May 22nd and will carry into June. Okay. And the other three, you know, they're the French Open, Wimbledon, which is in the UK, and then the US Open, which I did go to last year, really establishing my credentials here.
Ariel, our other tennis expert, also good. So you two will have to. Yeah,
it was really fun. Yeah, you get like a day pass. You get to just, you know, go see all the matches and everything.
There's a thing in Toronto, the Rogers Cup, I think is what it's called. I would like to check that out at some point. Yep.
So those three are all pretty much in the late spring to summer, because that's usually, you know, the big tennis. I mean, obviously Australia summer is now, so that's why the Australian Open happens in January. So we have to wait, you know, 4 months for the next big one, and then it'll get fun because it's French Open, and then a couple weeks go by and you have Wimbledon, and then a month or two goes by and you have the US Open, all kind of back to back to back like that.
Fun. Okay. Thank you so much. It's great. Very fun as the Australian Open has wrapped up. We will wrap up our coverage of it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, it's summer in Australia, but the world is turning its attention to the Winter Olympics. Feels like we just had some Olympics last year almost. But Beijing hosts the 2022 Winter Olympics. Anything, are you Winter Olympics fan? I always feel very biased where people normally say I'm much bigger fan of the Summer Olympics, but as the lone Canadian in this crew, I do feel like I do love the Winter Olympics. But anything, I don't know, the Winter Olympics has lots of weird, you know, luge and skiing. It's so fun. Corey, anything you're looking forward to in the Winter Olympics?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Grace. First of all, I'm more of a Winter Olympics person. I think it's just because of my wife and her family and skating. She shows me, Facebook posts from her friends taking selfies at the Olympics, like in the middle of the Olympic skating ring. I'm literally looking at one right now. That's always just very fun and engaging for me to be able to engage myself in the content, right? But unfortunately, I am very much a spectator in all these things. I really don't have any expertise. I love, I will watch all the figure skating with my wife. I really love the speed skating. I think that's amazing. Yeah. That's very engaging, especially when the tumbles start happening. Is that rude to say? I hope not.
No, that's fine. It happens. It's a sport.
Yeah. That's part of the intrigue, in my opinion. Yeah, and a lot of just really niche, fun sports. And I really appreciate a lot of Winter Olympians for, same thing for a lot of niche summer sports too, to be fair. But like for their dedication to the craft that they basically like can't do anything with this sport.
Other than the Olympics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's paying like signing a big money contract for their like skeleton, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, exactly. Really, just the Olympics. What about you, Cam? You gonna watch?
So, like, honestly, I feel like the Winter Olympics has always been weird to me. For me personally, because like I've always been a big Summer Olympics person. Like, right. I literally will spend every like walking second when the Summer Olympics starts to it ends, and I'll watch everything. Like, I'm weird like that. I don't know. But the winter one, I just really don't want. I don't know. Even though figure skating is, you know, they have that, you know, and I used to watch that with my mom all the time. I just never really was big on the Winter Olympics. Like, I don't know why. Like, it's not even really a reason why. It's just like.
Cam, can I get you really into curling? I think I could get you.
You probably could. Like I said, if I actually like dedicated some time and someone like told me what sports to watch, I would watch it for sure.
I just haven't really dug deep into it.
You know, it's just one of those things. And I'm also in the South too. You know, we don't have hockey down here. So
there are rinks somewhere near you. There's a rink. It's a good segue, man. I'll get your set. But next week we are going to be joined by, I believe, Haley Strong and then the wonderful DJ LaBelle Klein. You might have heard on some Wandas. We will be doing a full Olympics preview. We'll also have another guest joining us. We're going to talk about not just the Olympics, but we're going to have a big segment dedicated to like, what should people be checking out? What are the fun stories? So that will be next week. But Matt, what about you? What's your Winter Olympics?
So it seems like there's a bit of a battle here between summer, who likes Summer Olympics more, who likes Winter Olympics. And I will be on the fence here because I hate all Olympics, all of them. I hate it all. I don't care about any of it. I don't know any of the players. I can't pretend to care about these sports that I normally don't care about for the other 3 years and 11 months. It's just, and I also, you know, don't really like the winter. So when you combine winter with Olympics, man, that's just a recipe for a disaster for me. So not a big fan. I will not be tuning in.
You're not sitting on the fence. You just destroyed the fence.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I knocked the fence down.
You're like, no, this whole thing should go. I mean, there are political and lots of reasons that you should not watch the Olympics. I think, like,
all right, I'm on the right side of history.
I do think, at some point, like 200 years from now, I'm like, Matt was right about that.
Yeah, I was here. I was here from the beginning saying that we shouldn't be watching the Olympics. Yeah. No, yeah, I don't know. If there's anyone that's particularly Stan-worthy that I should check out, I might check them out to see what they're all about. But I just don't have interest in it. And there's so much other stuff that I do have interest in that I would rather spend my time on. Sorry for all the Olympics lovers out there.
I'm a big believer in that. Watch stuff that when somebody's like, you should watch a show. It's really good. After like the first 13 episodes, it's get really good. It's just like, I don't want to watch 13 episodes.
I don't have time for those.
I don't like it. So I think that's that's a good take, Matt.
Yeah. Matt, I will say that like, there could absolutely be like a Jimmy Garoppolo equivalent.
Yeah.
Ooh, now you're speaking my language.
You know what I mean? Like, who's the Jimmy Garoppolo of figure skating.
Do you want me to ask that? I'll ask Troy that next week.
If I could find the Jimmy G of figure skating or something like that, where I can just kind of like unabashedly stand them for little to no reason and just
Did you not hear Jimmy G is he's participating in the figure skating?
They said it was his last game with the Niners.
He's got a figure skating career. All right, that's the Olympics. We'll have much more coverage next week and weeks to come. The Olympics take place February 4th to the 20th. What about this Tom Brady carousel? Is he retiring or is he not retiring? He announced, Schefter announced on Twitter that Tom Brady had let the Buccaneers know that he was retiring. And then probably within the hour, we started to get reports to say, Tom Brady didn't say he was retiring. He will let you know when he will let the Buccaneers know when he is retiring. So what happened, Cam? Is Tom Brady retiring?
Oh, yeah. This was crazy to me because, I saw breaking news and I was anytime, you see something like breaking news like that, you're like, man, let me hit my friends up, see what's up. Because, sometimes, when you see something like that, you're like, man, there's no way. Because it was weird for ESPN to report that before Brady reported. It was a weird thing. I feel like ESPN, this is something I don't really like with how, media is now. It's like people are reporting things before the players or, people report these things. And I think, Brady was going to retire. And he still may retire, by the way. But he was probably so upset about it. He'll probably come back next year just to be like, oh, yeah. I was going to retire, but I'm going to come back. Because, Brady, he threw for 45 touchdowns. Was it 45 touchdowns, 43 touchdowns? How many? I don't know if y'all can fact check that, but. He threw for a lot of touchdowns, leading the league in touchdowns and receiving, passing yards this year. And he's, 44 years old.
That's what I was going to say. I think he was going to retire, but he didn't want people to know. And then the story broke. So I think he's just going to play another season now out of spite, just because he wants to say when he retires and no one else. So I think if there is someone who will play a whole full season just out of spite, I think maybe Tom Brady could be that person.
So, The documentary, I think the first episode, Tom Brady, Man in the Arena, dropped today. I feel like there are some reasons why this makes sense that he would retire. I think that short of losing the Super Bowl, I think I said this last week on the podcast, that storming down the field, tying the game, and then losing on a field goal sort of feels as good as you can get without winning the Super Bowl, right? And if you win the Super Bowl, it kind of feels like, well, I could just go, let's try to go just do that again, in some ways. And so I feel like, it feels like a good time to retire. It feels like a pretty good, ending to, he did nothing wrong in his last play. He, stormed up the field, scores a touchdown. That's pretty good, I think. And then he has this, they're filming this documentary, right? And the documentary is releasing. I could absolutely see that the last episode of this, there's a rumor going around that the whole reason this got leaked basically is because he recorded something for the documentary, basically saying that he was retiring, and then that got leaked. Somebody at ESPN leaked that to Schefter, who then tweeted it out. So I don't know. And then apparently drama, apparently Brady doesn't like Schefter. There's some stuff about how he's covered him in the past. And so, and there's also these conspiracy theories, he leaked it to Schefter just to retract it and make him look like an idiot, which I think is fun, but probably not a true story.
I love that theory so much.
It's the most fun theory for sure. But I don't know, Corey, is Tom Brady, is this the end? Is this, that was his last season?
Yes, there are some signs. You mentioned the documentary. I think that's absolutely a viable theory. I also think that just in general, the way he's been talking just in interviews or wherever else is just talking about how it's much more of a struggle for him to come back. Whereas in the past he was very, sometimes he played with the fans a little bit, but this time it actually seems like, wow, I want to continue to spend my life with my family.
Yeah.
My family just seems like they want me to be done. He's putting out these hints for sure. I will say, part of the reason I like the Schefter theory, and I believe Schefter and many others definitely did him dirty with the whole Deflategate stuff, and he would probably be very upset about how the report being sort of blended to a lot of the results of that investigation. But I think that whether or not it's actually out of spite or some orchestrated thing, not to change it too much, but for example, how other players actually started tweeting him when the news came out. I believe his own organization, like the TV12 Twitter account or something, posted something about it and then immediately had to delete it. which who knows if that's conjecture or if they thought, oh, it's time. And then they realized it wasn't, right? So
yeah,
that is all really hard to say. One thing I'll say, though, he has always said that he's going to play until he's 45. He's 44. I mean,
yeah,
I think that he's got one more for that reason. I also really just love the theory that, you know, I'm not a big Brady guy, but I love that. And of course, I respect that he's the GOAT, right? But I would love it so much if he just like put all this out there and it's like, aha, suckers, I'm playing one more season. Like, it would be perfect.
That's a real pro wrestling move. The fake retirement is real pro wrestling, but maybe. He said he'd play until 45. He said he'd play until he didn't feel like he could play anymore. It felt like this year he could absolutely play another year. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
I hope he retires. I hope I'm so ready for the Brady era to be over. There is kind of like a comedic aspect to just watching him win year after year. Like, even though you think he's too old, he'll just win another three Super Bowls. He goes to another team, he wins anyway. To me, I do find that funny, especially because everyone outside of, you know, where he plays and probably like the Boston area hates the guy so much and is rooting against him. To just watch him continue to win is something that I can appreciate as comical. And, you know, obviously have to respect that he's great, but I don't like him. I don't find him anything to root for, you know, besides that comedic aspect. So I'm ready for him to be done. I'm ready. Let's give everyone else a chance to win some Super Bowls. It's just us. It can get kind of boring watching Brady just dominate year after year. So I'm done with it.
God, last week I really felt I thought last week was like the most fun Brady's been, where like the threat of him just coming down the field and winning was like horror movie, at like a really big bad you know, at the end of the movie energy, and then when they just don't win, I was like, that's fun. That was fun. He scared me for a little bit. That was great. I really liked that. But I think probably Brady's back for another season, but this whole thing is just fascinating to me that like it got leaked.
Interesting. I do love a nice off-season story that we could look at, because off seasons usually are boring, so we need something to hold us over.
All right, I think that's it. Is there anything we didn't touch on that anybody wants to any sports stories in the world you're following, anything else?
Like I said, really the only sport that I really care about is baseball, and I don't even know if baseball, when it's going to be played. Grace, have you been, are you a big baseball person? Grace,
I know
you said you were a blue, you're a huge baseball. Have you been paying attention to the lockout or what's going on with that? Are we going to get like a normal season, or are they going to?
I think we lose games. I think spring training gets pushed back. It doesn't seem they're apparently their last meeting. There was some progress in terms of negotiations. Seems like the league average will certainly be raised, the league minimum for players. But it doesn't necessarily feel like they're super close. And, you know, technically, it's not actually that much longer before like pitchers and catchers have to report. Right.
We saw with the COVID year that they could do like a shortened kind of spring training thing if they really need to. But I'm all for the players. Do what you need to do to get what you need. I'll be here when the season does start. I don't need you guys to rush things along for me. You know, I love baseball when it's there, but I'm not missing it too bad right now. There's other stuff I could watch. There's Celebrity Big Brother around the corner. There's
David Ortiz, the only player on the ballot.
Oh, man. Hall of
Fame. How you feel?
Oh, yeah. This upset me. Like I probably was talking about this for like, I feel like every time this time of year, I always talk about this. Like, I don't know why Barry Bonds, especially like Roger Clemens too, but Barry Bonds especially, is not in the Hall of Fame. And it's even crazier because David Ortiz, he got caught too, like cheating.
Once, and then he was like, don't worry about it. And they were like, okay.
Yeah, I think Barry Bonds, he's a seven-time MVP.
I think anyone under the age of 55 at this point like agrees with us here that all of these people should be in the Hall of Fame. And I appreciate David Ortiz making it, because I had a $100 bet with my friend that he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, wow.
And my friend said, no.
I thought the DH would ding him a bit.
He is a DH and he did do the PEDs thing. But I said, listen, no one cares that David Ortiz did PEDs.
They care
that A-Rod did it. They care that, you know, Bonds and Clemens did it. No one, David Ortiz got caught. He apologized, and everyone said, you know what? we kind of still love you. And that's fine. He's a very lovable guy. Like I'm a Yankees fan. He was a Red Sox, you know, a Red Sox for most of his career. And I can't hate him. He's a very likable guy. He's on the, you know, the post game show on Fox these days. And
most people aren't saying like, oh, David Ortiz shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. They're like, Barry Bonds should also be in the, like,
oh, of course.
It seems
very weird that they like, where's the line? Like, pick a lane and stick to it. If you don't think Bonds and Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame, then maybe everyone else shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. But if you're going to say Ortiz should be in and not A-Rod, I don't understand that at all.
I mean, they'll get in. I think they'll get in with the historic committee or whatever that thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I think eventually they do get in, but it's very annoying to have to draw this out so much.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they played the game under the rules of the game at the time. The league basically, right, like, you know, covered it up. You know, A-Rod did it. He got caught. He got suspended. You know, it's like, I don't know. Just like,
and like, I think Brian Cohen was saying it, that that Bonds and Clemens and stuff, they still are kind of in the Hall of Fame. Like, their bats are in the Hall of Fame. Their gloves are in there. There's things like commemorating them. The only thing is they just don't have the plaque. They didn't have the induction ceremony. And I mean, they deserve an induction ceremony, like, give it to them. And also he made the point that there are people in the Hall of Fame that did much worse things than do steroids, which were a thing that everyone was doing in baseball. And there's just a few people that we've kind of scapegoated for the whole steroids movement. And everyone is kind of taking out their frustration with that on them. And we'll continue to not let it go. But as the Hall of Fame committee gets younger and younger, these things kind of, I think, will not be as important.
Yeah, I hope so. Corey, you have thoughts on the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I sure don't. Great.
Okay, great. I just wanted to check in.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. The last thing, I'm just going to brag for a bit to all the Americans here that we beat you in soccer, World Cup qualifier. We're at the top of the table, particularly for first time, you know, Canada.
Hey, I'm 1/8 Canadian, so this is a win for me, too.
Okay, great. Yeah. We beat 7/8 of you. So that's very exciting. Personally, a very fun game. They went 2-0 the other day. We'll be talking more football / soccer next week with a very special guest. Tune in. I think that's it. Let's go around the horn. You tell people where they can find you on the internet and what you're up to. Cam, what about you?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter a lot, CamPerry21. Anyone knows me knows I talk about NFTs a lot. And so if y'all ever want to know about NFTs, you know, reach out to me. I'm your boy for that. And I appreciate you, Grace, having me on. It was cool talking sports. And, you know, if you ever want to have me back on, you know, if the audience wants to have me back on, you know, I'll definitely be down to come back, especially during college football season. That'd be fun.
Sounds good. I know nothing about college football, so that'd be great. Corey, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Cavx, CAVX, or also Cavx on Twitch, which is a new thing for me. I just became an affiliate at Rapid Speed thanks to participating in a Fall Guys tournament that Puyo hosted. So that's pretty exciting. I'm going to see if I can ride the wave. You know, I also am, I've got some cool projects coming up. You can always find me in the Pusher Recaps community as well, running mini bots. I also have a podcast called Wombat Water, and we will eventually release a new podcast. Yeah. Maybe if you have it in your feed, you'll find out. So go ahead and subscribe. And I think that's most of it for me.
Cool. Matt, what about you?
So you can follow me on Twitter at MattyFresh24. Only social media can I use, so follow me there. If you'd like to continue hearing my great voice on other podcasts, I have a Gossip Girl podcast called The Lonely Boys, where me and my friend Brendan are recapping every episode of Gossip Girl. He is a new watcher. I am an expert, and I'm kind of leading him through the series. Also, I recently did a High School Musical podcast with fellow Matt Ligori, where we recapped every movie in three parts each, and then also did a big song ranking at the end. So you can find that over on the Choir Room podcast. So I'm sure the Venn diagram of people that love sports, Gossip Girl, and High School Musical is a perfect circle. So you can check me out on all of those. And I'll also like to echo what they were saying. Thank you, Grace, for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
No problem.
Did I say that, Grace? If not, no, I want to say it too. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. You can follow me on Twitter at Hi From Grace, doing a lot of stuff over on Post Show Recaps, covering Euphoria with Amon Adwin, as well as we did some Yellow Jackets coverage, just some Raised by Wolves coverage with Josh Wigler and Taryn Armstrong, doing movie coverage. We did The Tragedy of Macbeth with my co-host Ariel. big tennis fan as well. This week we'll be covering The Lost Daughter, a podcast, Hold Up. Follow us on Twitter at Hold Up Podcast. We watch LGBTQ media from the past and see if it holds up. We've got lots going on. If that was too much to remember, I'm at Ty from Grace on Twitter. Yeah, this was very fun chatting sports. And with that, the podcast is over.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.